My name is Mark Sanders, and you're now listening to Far Radio.
Mark Sanders ist der Designer des kettenlosen Fahrrades Mando Footloose. Wir haben ihn auf der Eurobike getroffen und uns lange unterhalten. Zu Anfang unterhalten wir uns ein wenig über Fahrradsendungen im Radio und im Fernsehen, was ja auch ganz interessant ist.
There is a TV show
yes,
in England that's just started.
And
it's actually sponsored by, it's either Wiggle or Condor, one of the big internet suppliers who basically completely bankrolled it, but without any editorial interference, which was very good of them. The only trouble is it's very focused on the sporting cyclist rather than the everyday cyclist, which kind of bugs me because my whole philosophy is, hey, those guys will cycle anyway. We don't need to spend our money marketing to those guys. They're the enthusiasts. We need to talk to the guy. We need to talk to people who drive cars. And we don't need to have conflict with them. We need to listen to them and ask them, why do you drive a car? How could we make two wheels more interesting to you? And I think, I'm not sure about Germany, but in UK, it's kind of like the enthusiasts versus the car drivers, and they're kind of like aggressive to each other. You know, the car drivers find cycling annoying, and the bike riders find car drivers selfish bastards, and they're kind of, they have this aggression amongst each other, and it's terrible. And it doesn't actually improve getting more people on bicycles. And so one of my philosophies is to think about, okay, let's listen to the car drivers. Why do they choose to sit in a traffic jam and not get anywhere to go 1 kilometre to the school to pick up their kid when the most obvious thing is a bicycle? Why? That's the question. And, as a product designer, I want to try and answer that question, which is the hardest part.
Mark erzählt, wie er zu dem Projekt kam und wie er sich offensichtlich sehr darüber freut.
This project was just so exciting when I was shown it that I couldn't help but get involved. And it was a good job I did, because the opportunity of a very big Korean company getting involved with a new bicycle for consumers rather than enthusiasts is absolutely a fantastic opportunity. Meister, the company behind this, are part of a group called Hala in Korea. You won't have heard of either of those names.
Is that like Samsung?
Kind of, it's actually more associated with Hyundai, actually. It's part of the Hyundai family. But just to give you an idea, they're the kind of company a bit like Bosch in many different sectors. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as big as Bosch, but the sector they're not involved with at the moment is consumer products. In fact, this is their first consumer product, but most cars, you know, maybe not Porsches, but most things like, you know, BMWs, Audi, GM, and all those sort of things will probably use their components. Steering systems, braking systems, ABS systems, suspension systems. That's what they're specialised in as a tier one supplier. Yeah. Anyway, about 3 years ago, they realised that there's kind of a limited future for cars as we know them, simply because I believe, and this is my word rather than theirs, you know, 100 years of successful marketing have meant that they are kind of like just taking over the planet, and you cannot get around cities by car anymore. They could see this, and if you ever go to Seoul in Korea, they're an absolutely car-mad culture, but they sit in traffic jams for hours and hours and hours, and it's just mad, it's just crazy. And not only did Mando, the supplier, realise this, but the Korean government realised this. And so when Mando started discussing it with them, they kind of both got very excited about developing some new technology. And because of their automotive roots and their automotive technology design capabilities, they decided some form of, they didn't know what it was at first, some form of personal transport that is much smaller than a car would be an area to get into. And they put together their heads and came up with a lot of different concepts. And this concept is basically hybrid electric bicycle. And it's kind of been done before on a research basis, where you have an alternator which basically charges a battery which then powers a motor. But what they've done is kind of take it a stage further by introducing some very sophisticated electronics into the loop. And what that means is that the alternator is not just off the shelf but pretty specialized, and can be actually programmed to offer different levels of resistance and output.
Yeah.
Okay. Likewise, the motor is a dual wound motor, so it can be programmed for, you know, low torque, high speed, high torque, low speed, plus latest lithium polymer technology, all linked together under the control of a central ECU. And then what they also added, because they're from automotive technology, is a whole pile of sensors. Things like inclinometers. I'm not sure they have GPS, but you know, if they wanted GPS, they could stick it in.
Because but they have sensors.
Exactly. I think they've got 6 sensors in the system. And I think for other e-bike suppliers, this is all kind of, you know, wow, new stuff. For them, it's like, so what? It's what we do every day in automotive. Anyway, they got all the technology and they got test rigs of it, and it kind of worked. And it was kind of, what was most interesting when I first saw it just over a year ago was how intuitive it was to the end user.
So the basic idea of getting rid of the chain came through this automotive input, and what they actually could do it. It's not a design feature at first, it's just it's possible to do it.
Yeah, basically. And then when they were experimenting with the system, they found it had several key advantages, but two in particular. One, by decoupling your effort from what happens at the back wheel or the drive wheel, means, for example, that if you prefer to pedal like mad going downhill, you can. And if you prefer to do very little work going uphill, you can. The choice is yours. The second thing it allowed was a way of controlling the whole system by how you interact with your pedals. For example, remember you've got control of the torque of the alternator. You also personally got control of you can set the torque of the alternator, and you can choose which speed you want to input to it. You've also got control function there. So you can decide to go really fast by pushing hard against the torque. Or you can reprogram the parameters and make it so that the alternator is just basically a control system. So it's got very little resistance, but you pedal fast and it goes fast. But the most fascinating thing from a human-focused design point of view is the freedom it gives the end user.
But it does give feedback, does it?
Feedback is in terms of the resistance you feel. But that feedback is actually independent of the work the bike itself is doing, which is the fascinating kind of step jump in what's happening.
Can we test ride those bikes here?
I don't think they're fully waterproof yet, because they don't actually go... The start of production hasn't happened yet. That happens in 3 weeks' time. SOP, as they call it.
I know. So
these are all pre-production, and so they're not fully weatherproof. So if it's pouring down with rain, I suggest electrics and rain. Probably not a good idea. But sure, they've got a little pop-up tent on the way to the Zeppelin Hall, and you can try this for yourself. It's not... They're still tweaking the ECU, but I think the key point here is that because it's completely programmable, it's more a question of choosing, optimizing the best settings. And it's got further advantages that you can obviously use it as an indoor trainer. And in career, you can plug them all together and race each other across their ultra-fast internet.
But with feedback and everything, if you've got too many stuff to dial, then you might be, then it might be too much. You know, you just.
Your main controls are basically either or. You've got throttle and pedal. You can either not pedal and just use it as like an electric scooter with no input at all.
Does
except
it have a
throttle.
Button or a throttle?
It's actually a little lever. Or you could ignore that and put it into a mode where you go as fast as you pedal. And what I mean, my biggest problem with the system when I first joined the project was, as I'm engineering background, was, hey, a chain is 98% efficient. Going between, you know, converting energy from, you know, rotational mechanical energy into electrical, then battery chemical energy back into electrical, back into mechanical, is kind of a bit inefficient. I've missed the point, because this is actually an electric bike with you can charge up at home as well, so you've got all that energy anyway in the battery pack. The most important thing is how intuitive it is for the user. The technology doesn't actually matter. And from a human design point of view, that's all that matters. You know, we don't care about the chips inside your iPhone. You just want to make a call or record this interview. Yeah. Same with this. And that was the fascinating technology. By then the ability to get rid of a chain, it opened up a lot of other possibilities. From the aesthetic point of view, making a product which was really human-focused design, rather than something that had to be designed around some fairly crude mechanical things like truss frames, like chains, like nasty sharp sprockets and oil and grease and stuff like that. And so exactly a year ago, I made them the proposal that, you know, that they'd got the hinge folding mechanism and this system, but it looked like a bit of underbonnet automotive engineering, you know, a bit of suspension. It needed a bit of human design, and so they were happy to work together, and it was a fantastic opportunity for me. And I think they've got something which is, it hits their original aim of going for the blue ocean population, people who don't care about the technology, they just want to get from A to B as easy as and intuitive as possible.
Als Fahrrad kann man das Ding ja nicht fahren, meinte ich. Wie sieht's denn mit der Zulassung aus in Europa?
This is not being launched in Europe until next year, and before that, it's going to be there's going to be some test marketing in Germany, Switzerland, and Netherlands. One of the key advantages of the programmable system is that it can be. I can't remember all the terms, but e-pack, speed bike,
pedelec.
There's about five different, and also on top of that, indoor trainer. And all it is just software changes. So, yes, this is the Korean version. But when it comes to Germany, it will, we guarantee, pass all the regulations. It would be stupid not to, and against the law. So, no problem.
It's got independent brakes. I didn't know that you won't start in Europe at the moment.
No. The only reason for being here today is simply because Eurobike only comes around once a year. And so it'd be too late next year. And so we wanted to just show it here as a kind of toeing water. But the actual launch, it will be in Korea in about 4 weeks' time. And they're already setting up a distribution system and dealers and a flagship store and all that sort of thing. And Europe and the rest of the world will come in later. And I think that's probably a very sensible thing to do, because, you know, you want to do all your testing locally where you can kind of fix it and you know, tweak things and make them perfect.
I've talked to prior to our talk, I talked to Mr. Park. Is that his name, the vice president?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he talks about he calls it his baby.
Yeah.
And it's really impressive, and because it seems to be money in it, and yeah. really effort and.
Money from both the company and from the Korean government, because they're both looking 10, yeah. 15, 20 years ahead, and what they can see is gridlock.
But that is, it's good that the government invests in that kind of transportation. And the thing that I wondered or asked him, but he told me he didn't think about that, is what will be in 20 years? Will it be licensed? Will we have chains?
Well, good question. I suppose
the
answer
is technology. Once it's there, it's simple.
Yeah. Several of the people from the e-bike business have asked, "Can we just buy the technology?" And they don't have an answer yet. I mean, I had a guy coming to see me specifically to try and get hold of the technology only. You know, leave the frame. We'll just have the motor, please. We'll have that bit, and that bit.
And
Mando's answer was, we haven't, just like he said to you, we haven't really thought of that scenario. We've just thought about getting the product out. I'll come back to you on it. I think they're so focused on getting some products out, and this is the first of a range. It's not just one product. They're looking at e-mobility generally and a range of products from, you know, cheaper, bigger, maybe three-wheeler, all sorts of things are in the pipeline. Yeah. But not into Porsche territory, don't worry.
he told me that it will be like 3K at the moment, 3,000-ish for the price, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're reluctant to discuss prices here now, because with the internet, they'll go straight, those information will go straight back to Korea, and the Koreans will say, right, it's this. And then if it's not this, they'll say, "Oh, you said in Eurobike it was this." So it would be crazy to say it will be.
He said that they will discuss and they will have a look at the market and everything.
Yeah, that's the number one question here. Everybody says, "Very nice bike. How much?" and I think, God, is it more than money?
Thomas hat vorher mit dem Vice President und Projektleiter das Footloose gesprochen und fragt jetzt, wie es aussieht über verschiedene Modelle und über mögliche Lizenzierungen an andere Hersteller.
Sometimes you just talk to marketing guys when a product sits there, and he seems to be like really into it.
Yeah, he's actually more, he's seeing the overview. And so he's been part of the development right from scratch. Yeah. So yeah. What else can I say? I mean, other versions. As I say, this is just one product of a range. And so I think what they're planning to do is see how the market goes. One of the questions we've been asking people here is, what do you think it should sell for? What would you like it to sell for? And obviously, idiots say, I want it for, you know, 200 euros, please, and I want it to go twice as fast, and yeah, okay, next. But the serious answers we will listen to, and that will kind of form where the next generation will go, and the generation after that, whether those generations will be in parallel or in series, I'm not sure.
Nach den Reaktionen auf der Eurobike fragt sich Mark Sanders, ob die Messe überhaupt der richtige Ort war, das Fahrrad zu präsentieren. Schließlich ist es für Blue Ocean Märkte gemacht und nicht für Red Ocean. Er erklärt ein wenig, was der Unterschied ist.
This exhibition was probably the wrong exhibition to launch a product aimed at what I call Blue Ocean too, because this is a Red Ocean trade show for people that are lifelong bike people, enthusiasts, running enthusiast-based companies, selling to other enthusiasts. That isn't our market. Our market is people who prefer not to use bicycles at the moment for whatever reasons, maybe because they don't want to join the enthusiasts' clique. They just want to be themselves, like in Amsterdam and Copenhagen.
There is a fair in Germany. It's in Berlin. It's called Fahrradschau. There are those people you are looking for. It's like the Berlin hipster community, or not hipster. They are like they like nice things and pay for them. And the whole atmosphere of the is that more like a Trödelmarkt or a Flohmarkt, or more like a street market, something like that.
I think I need to go there with some other products.
Street market bundled with a fashion exhibition, something like that.
Oh, but the launch will be later than next year, probably.
It'll be at least 6 months. But maybe, I think I would imagine by this time next year.
But maybe they have
they'll have a distribution center.
They have a small booth, test riding, showing in it again in Germany.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I certainly will check out that Berlin show, because that sounds like the kind of show that I'm interested in. My background is folding bikes, from Strider through to IF Mode and things like that. And from the same philosophy, trying to introduce the benefits of bicycles to non-cyclists. So that show sounds wonderful.
I haven't been there up to now, but I'll go there next year.
Bei anderen Messen fällt Marc die Spezi in Germersheim ein. Und voll verkleidete Fahrräder und das immer noch ungelöste Problem des Regenschutzes auf dem Fahrrad.
Yeah, there's another show in, I've forgotten the name of it, near Holland, which is a specialist bike show. Tell me some names.
Spezi?
Yeah, that's it.
Have you been there?
No, but
This is Red Ocean.
Oh, it's Red Show, it's full of enthusiasts.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a nerd at the end of the day. I love all this stuff personally. But it's not the sort of stuff I'm trying to design, you know?
They need design. If I see the Velomobile, because I really love the idea of a Velomobile. You know what I mean? Like four wheels or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they have to be that ugly?
There's some that are fairly cool that... I mean,
if they are cool, they are sort of race.
Yeah, true.
And so there's not really one that you think, okay, I use it instead of my Polo.
Yes. If you know how gliders are designed, with the beautiful canopies, the ASKs and things like that, German gliders, that would be cool. You know, just the pod of a... front of a glider.
Yeah, but you in the city or wherever. I personally prefer to ride upright, see everything. And
I agree.
So, well, maybe there's something moving there too.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, one of the challenges I throw down to my students, because I don't know the answer when I'm teaching, is okay. Weather protection. For cyclists, that is cool. In other words, stopping the rain isn't the issue. It's been cool. It's much harder issue.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know those blankets they use on the Vespa?
Yes, when I was a kid.
It's for the legs only. So the Italians,
oh, okay.
The Italians use that. They have like a thick blanket that's fixed to that front fender or what's it called?
Your legs. So your legs are kind of enclosed.
Yes, yes. And you sort of slip under it when you enter your scooter. And these are great. I would wish they
there was something like that for bicycles.
Well, I must admit, I mean, the the BMW C1 was pretty cool. And there have been some Italian motorcycles that do something similar. But whenever that's tried on bicycles, it kind of just adds the weight and wind resistance. And, you know, it's a real technical challenge, as well as an image challenge.
And the BMW had a bit, the withdrawal was the engine of the BMW, because it was really crap.
I know, it was only about 200cc and the weight was heavier.
It was
125, wasn't it?
Yes, and they bought it up to like 200. They rid 200 on it, but it makes an awful noise.
Yes.
And what is the problem for a scooter is that the weight of the roof.
The center of gravity.
It didn't feel like a scooter anymore.
No.
Because on a Vespa or whatever scooter, you sit there like relaxed, and you couldn't relax in it on a BMW. The idea is good. And
I thought that was just me.
Zum Schluss gibt uns Marc noch seine Twitter-Adresse mit. Sie lautet @77a. Und wir stellen fest, dass wir uns am Tag vorher schon getroffen haben. Das heißt, er hat einen Tweet von mir gelesen, für gut befunden und favorisiert. Schöner Zufall.
If any of your listeners use Twitter, my Twitter handle is 77A. 77A is one of the shortest Twitter handles in the world, and I'm very proud of it. Because it's my address.
Ah, this is great. Okay, I know it because you favorited one of my tweets yesterday.
Did I?
Yes.
Good man.
It said, "Look, Mum, no chains."
Oh, we love that saying. And we said, why didn't we think of that? It's brilliant. Well done.
Das war das Interview mit Mark Sanders, dem Designer des ersten kettenlosen Fahrrades, Mando Footloose, aufgenommen auf der Eurobike am 30. September 2012. Mein Name ist Hans und ihr hört TED Fahrradio.